All right. Today is the first Sunday of Advent. I have a number of scriptures I'll be talking about, but the theme, this is the candle of hope. Jesus Christ is our herald of hope. Let's pray. Father in heaven, thank you for this day, this first Sunday of Advent. And Lord, we just confess that we are busy, distracted, sometimes even feeling a little confused, but we thank you for this season to refocus on Jesus anew. And so, Lord, we just invite your presence into our lives as our herald of hope in all things, and we give you thanks and praise in your name, saying, Amen. So again, historically speaking, this is the beginning of the Advent season. Now, if you didn't come from a traditional background, this may be new or a little unusual to you, but Advent comes from the Latin word which means coming. And so it's the four Sundays before Christmas where we take time in our lives to receive Jesus anew. And so in addition to the beautiful decorations, thank you ladies and some gents who helped there last week, we want to focus on these four themes of hope, and peace, joy, and love. And the Christ candle is for Christmas Eve and Christmas morning as well. And so these are just little objects of focus for this year. Now, I think in thinking over the past year, certainly in my own life with death of my dad, and you know, we had the pandemic, and I've talked with many of you about different things, you know, I think all of these things get chipped away in our lives. You know, how much of us really live with very much hope? And so that's really the focus this morning, this theme of hope. And because we don't have very many days, do we? So we want to focus on these things. So kind of like the time when getting pounded terribly in the Ukraine, Vladimir Putin forgot all about his Russian Orthodox faith, as can happen, and instead he decided to consult a fortune teller. Yes, this is a different joke, actually. And he said this, he said, "Where will I be after Christmas?" he asked the charlatan, to which she replied, "I see you in a limo driving through Kiev after the war between Russia and the Ukraine is over and everyone is cheering as you pass by." And with a great surge of hope, which Putin probably needs right now, I guess, even though we don't want him to have it, I guess, he said, "Am I waving at the people?" And the fortune teller replied, "No, because your coffin is closed." It's a little dark for Christmas. Dear Santa, all's I want is fill in the blank. Actually, in all seriousness, I'm asking all of us here this morning the important question of where do you find your hope in life? Where do you find your hope? Is it in Jesus, our herald of hope? Is it in his word, the Bible? Is it in some godless fortune teller or something else? Or is it a whole different combination of things in your life? You know, the last couple years have been stressful for people. And over this period of time, all of us have experienced a variety of emotions, fear, frustration, anger, a sense of hopelessness, probably. So the question is, where do we go to in our lives for hope? In all honesty, how much hope do we live with in our normally bright and beautiful Bitterroot Valley? And you know, as I think about the word hope, it's kind of a slippery term. It feels that way. But thankfully, I went back to the Lord, went back to his word. I got some counsel from older and wiser Christian authors on this tricky topic. But as the video talked about this morning, and I really liked that video, I actually wrote the sermon before that video, and when I saw it, I was like, this is great, good teaching. The Bible Project is a wildly successful new thing with two young guys who are doing this kind of cutting-edge teaching, and if you want to see other topics, check it out on YouTube. But Old Testament Hebrew, Yachal as well as Kivna, what does that mean? Well, it means to wait. It means to be patient. Hope actually in Hebrew in the Old Testament actually means it can mean to be pained. So you're like, does hope and pain go together? You bet. You bet. And that's important, I think, to think about in this season. New Testament Greek, elpis, as the video said, an expectation or a prospect. So this seems ironic. So biblical hope sometimes means to patiently wait, to trust in the Lord, especially in the dark and difficult times of life, right? That's why this is so important and so practical, I think. As I thought about the biblical ideas of hope, that felt hopeful to me this week. You know, so I think Christian hope is far more practical than maybe we've ever imagined. It shows up in the Bible a bunch of times, almost 200 times hope is talked about throughout the Bible. Now, in the Old Testament, I found this interesting. More often than not, it has this notion of pain and waiting on the Lord. We see that in the book of Job and the prophets, whereas in the Psalms, hope really has more to do with giving thanks and praise to God. This has been interesting. So in our Monday morning men's group, which I really enjoy, we have been studying the Old Testament book of Job, a chapter each and every week, and it's been a really interesting study. In Job's season or time of pain and grief, he asks these very human questions. He says, "Where then is my hope? Who can see any hope for me?" Who hasn't said that at one time or another? So in my daily times with the Lord, I've been in the Psalms. The Psalms answer this question for Job, I think. Psalm 33, "The eyes of the Lord are on those who fear him, those whose hope is in his unfailing love, to deliver them from death, to keep them alive in famine. We wait in" what? "Hope for the Lord. He's our help. He's our shield." I discovered something as well that was, I thought, quite interesting. In the New Testament, 2/3 of all the occurrence of the word hope comes from the lips of Paul, which makes sense given his life, his tough life as a missionary for Jesus Christ. You may remember from last week in the Thanksgiving message, 25% of all the occurrences of thanks and gratitude in the entire Bible come from Paul's lips. So Paul talks a lot about thanks, gratitude. He talks a lot about hope. Romans 8, he says, "For in this hope we were saved, but hope that is seen is no hope at all," right? That's pretty important. "Who hopes for what he or she already has? But if we hope for what we do not yet have, we wait for it patiently." Oh, patience, that's a whole nother thing, isn't it? I've said this before, when I hear young Christians say, "You know what I really need, Jim, in my life? I need more patience." I'm like, be careful what you pray for. You just might get it in spades. And you know how you get patience in the Christian life? Through challenges and difficulties, which will also help bring more hope in your life if your eyes are on the Lord. I think as we walk into this Christmas season, I think we all need a little extra wisdom, a little extra discernment. Isn't it true in this season, like stuff happens that's completely out of our control? I was hoping for a Hallmark Christmas. Really? Is that even real? I know we like to think about it that way, but it doesn't work that way. People are always doing stuff that irritates us, right? Schedules get changed. Family and friends, aren't they grand in the holidays sometimes? Because why? They fail to exhibit an attitude of gratitude. That was the Thanksgiving sermon last week, right? It's a matter of ingratitude. They're just never happy. And they sometimes want you to be unhappy too. Does this sound familiar? Is this just me? All right, no one's saying nothing. This is so real. Kind of like the time during the Christmas season when a wife became so enraged with her husband's lack of holiday help, he never helps me, sound familiar, that she actually packed his bags and told him to go. Get out. That may have happened to you guys. He sadly picked up his bags, and as he was slowly making his way to the door, his wife really put the kibosh on him and said, "I hope you die a long and slow, painful death." "Merry Christmas." To which he replied, "Oh, so you do want me to stay?" He did not. I did, right? Some of those things during the season that happen seem crushing, they seem hopeless, right? There's a great number of things that you and I can't control in life. I think we learn more about that as we grow older. You may not be able to control a situation during the holiday especially with family or personalities, but you can choose how you're going to respond to them. Amen? Choice is yours. It feels like I don't have any choice. You do have a choice. Sometimes it's just a walk away, right? That can be helpful too, right? What kind of choice are we going to make? And that's where hope lies. It's like, this guy's, you know, off the rails or whatever. Mama's doing this or whatever. But I can choose hope. I can choose something healthy, something different, right? I've often shared this truth with people who are struggling with that feeling of hopelessness, a lack of control in their lives. This is a favorite Roman Stoic philosopher, Seneca, of mine. Actually, Paul was familiar with this man's writings on life. Seneca said this, and some of you may need to memorize this. I have. He said, "Our spiritual well-being is often forfeited by being committed to matters beyond our control." Does this sound familiar? This sounds like recovery now, right? I've irritated some people, and I say, this church, if you come to this church, you're admitting that you're in spiritual rehab. I'm not drug addicted. No, but you might be addicted to yourself or dumb stuff, right? So let's admit it. Let me say that again. Your spiritual well-being will be forfeited by being committed to things you can't control. This is liberating. That's why recovery programs say, you know, let go and let God, these taglines. It's so true. It's so true. So what do we do? Where do we go when life gets us down, especially in the holidays? Or maybe more practically, if you had to choose only one thing, what would it be this season? Would it be relief or would it be hope? Relief or hope? Again, circumstances, events, people you can't control. Where is your choice? Where is my choice? In other words, can you choose hope this season? Right? Our choices really, really matter. So what do you find relief in when the chips are down in life or when you feel wiped out? If we're really honest, I think, we will have a tendency to go what Christian author John Eldredge says, to false comforters. Anybody know anything about that? We are so ingenious with these. These look different for different people. False comforters. Instead of going to the source of all hope, Jesus Christ, who is our herald of hope. For example, your go-to items or situations that call your name when you feel hopeless, right? Here we go. Easy door of vice and addiction. Let me just give you a shopping list since everybody's got a shopping list this time of year. And you're like, why am I doing this shopping list? I'm buying gifts for people I don't even like. That might be a choice that you can think about. Do I need to do this? Okay. Oh, here's the season's big one, shopping. What has that got to do with the birth of Jesus Christ? Well, the wise men brought gifts. Right. Okay, I understand. Shopping, drugs, pills, alcohol, rage, sex, chocolate, donuts, junk food, binging, pornography, social media, social approval, phones, workaholism, control, passivity, and on it goes. Does this sound like your families? Not my family, Jim. Right? It's like a broken record. For people under the age of 40, I mean disrupted digital streaming. You know, you're watching your favorite show, binging, you know, because you can, and you're up till 3 a.m. and your eyes are bleeding, and you should go to bed, but you're watching, and all of a sudden you see that little circle going, and you're like, ah, this is making me mad. Is this confession time? Yeah, I guess. Actually, you know, all of these things, you know, what's the difference between vice and virtue? Well, beyond the obvious, they're the same in that all of these things are well practiced over a period of time, right? Do you want good things in your life? That takes a life and a practice. Bad things, those things come easy, right? Not hard to put on a few extra pounds, but boy, taking it off, that's serious, right? Where do we go? What do we turn to when we're looking for relief? Do we choose instant gratification rather than hope? right? Instant gratification is all over our society. Remember back in the day when you had to wait a week to see the next installment of your show? Oh, with the cliffhanger, remember those? Oh, they didn't stop there. Now I gotta wait like 7 days. Now it's like, wait, I'm gonna go get some more chips. Here we go, you know? Do we have any, where do we go is really the point. The author of Hebrews says this, we have this hope. What is our hope? Jesus Christ has finished work. And what is it? He said, that's an anchor for our souls. You know, a lot of us are just kind of, you know, in the last couple of years are kind of floating around and stuff like that. Where's the anchor for your soul? Kind of unlike the time when a local business was having its annual Christmas party, and after a few holiday beverages, the dancing began. Sitting all alone, a young lady was hoping that some handsome young man would ask her to dance, and she just sat there hopelessly for over an hour. Finally, a good-looking young man approached her and said, I've noticed you've been sitting here for over an hour. Would you like to dance? And giddy with hope, she jumped up, grabbed his hands. With tears in her eyes, she said, yes, yes, thank you. But much to her surprise, he was exhausted, and he plopped down into her empty chair and said, great, have at it. I've been wanting to sit down for over an hour. Oh, that's mean. It's the holidays, isn't it? Ow. Yeah. Where's your hope, is my point. What are you hoping in? More seriously, I love this story. In the awful time that was World War II, when the Nazis were rounding up Jews, throwing them into horrific concentration camps, obviously the temptation to despair of life and lose all hope could not have been worse or more real. Seriously. If you've ever read Dante's Inferno, what do the gates of hell say? Abandon all hope, all ye who enter here. During that time, a young and brilliant Jewish psychiatrist, Dr. Viktor Frankl, was interned in the hellishly difficult Auschwitz concentration camp. Fun fact, only one person out of every 29 got out of this hellhole alive. Talk about issues of hope. Dr. Frankl made a very powerful discovery. He noticed that this, if a person has a reason to live, right? They would figure out a way to stay alive. Some of you are like, I need to hear more about that. If you have a reason to live, you'll figure out how to stay alive. But if a person lost all hope, he would see the lights go out of their eyes and they would die. Not because of a beating from a Nazi guard or whatever. They were just stripped of their humanity and their hope, right? For most all of the prisoners that did live out of Auschwitz, they had a reason to live. And usually it was the hope of being reunited with loved ones and family. You see, Dr. Frankl and the Jews, as well as our American POWs that survived the Nazis, knew that hope was not the same as optimism. Be very clear about this in this season. An optimist, as the video said, will say things like this. Look, things will get better, but they can't give you a reason why. Optimists frequently make predictions as to when they think the trial will be over, and when those trials don't come to an end, they are crushed. You know what that reminds me of? This charlatan prophecy teaching that seems to have a great popularity in many Christian churches, you know, predicting the end, all that kind of stuff. Stop. Right? The problem is that it won't stand the test of time. It's not based on a deep and abiding faith and trust in God, for whom all heaven and earth will one day give account. When was the last time you thought, you know, when I die, I will give an account to God? Boy, he is fun today. Right? Author of Hebrews says, now faith is the substance of what things hope for, the evidence of things not yet seen. You know what Dr. Frankl's favorite Bible verse was? Psalm 118:5. Think about his context. I called to the Lord from my narrow prison, and he answered me in the freedom of space. Wow. Do you see how choosing relief over hope will only lead to a narrow prison in your life? This is how it works. You see how hope is linked to faith and trust in God? Do you see if you're living in hope, your life will be gracious, spacious, and freeing? Now, you've heard me talk about him a little bit. One of my favorite Christian authors was Thomas Merton. This guy was something else. He lived a crazy, irresponsible, dissolute life and nearly died on several occasions. And like many, he came to the conclusion that there was no life in sinful choices. He really struggled with hopelessness. And so he began to do something, and this is the story of many of you. He decided to begin to read the Bible, read Christian books, talk to other Christians, pastors, priests, stuff like that. And before he knew it, this hedonist intellectual put his faith in Jesus Christ and became a Christian. But that wasn't enough. He was pretty hardcore, so he joined a Trappist monastery to write about the Christian life. You know, the Trappist monasteries are very Spartan, not much stuff in there. Many of them have a vow of silence. These monks, they communicate with hand signals. They have their own special language. Fascinating, I think. He discovered an ironic truth, and it was this. Keep this in mind during the holiday. The more worldly goods that he previously owned actually made him more hopeless in his life. That's why some of us, and I mentioned this to the guys on Monday, something God brought to my attention. For some of us, in order to grow spiritually, we need to subtract things from our lives, not add to them. Does that make sense? Just start clearing out stuff. It looks different for different ones, I think. Right? Merton reminded me of this truth. He said, "Nothing created is of any use without hope. To place your trust in visible things is ultimately to despair." Here's the thing. Whatever we value over and above God can only deliver despair in your life. Only deliver despair, because it was never ever meant to take the place of God in your heart in the first place. You know, that's why people get in trouble when they take otherwise good things and they lean too hard on them, or they squeeze them in a way for something they can't deliver. Some people do that in relationships, right? It was utterly liberating when I had a former pastor say to me, you know, it's good for you to have friends and people outside, you know? I mean, a spouse will not do it all for you. Like, do not tell my wife I said that. And someone's going to tell you. And God has given us friends. God has given us fellow believers, right? This is part of his great gift in our lives. Why would you lean on your spouse for everything in your life? That's not fair, right? That's almost idolatry. And I'm going to leave it there because otherwise I'll just get in trouble. Here's what Merton said. It would be a sin to place any limit on my hope in God. We must love God without measure. Underline this. All sin is rooted in the failure to love God. Because all sin is a withdrawal of our love from God in order to love something else. Sin sets boundaries on your hope and locks our love in a narrow spiritual prison. I'm like, that's money. Oh, man. We've said it many, many times. You know, if you think an abundance of nice things or possessions will make you happy apart from God, you're delusional. Most of you know this by now, I think. See, things are meant to serve us, to be used by us for good purposes, nothing more. They can never fill the God-shaped hole in our hearts because they were never meant to, ever meant to. In short, the more stuff you have you noticed this? The more time and energy you will spend to take care of said stuff, right? And it will be a burden for you. Don't I know? Remember, a number of you still laugh at when I first moved here, I got chickens because I could. And they're just so cute. 55 of them. You know, when they're like this, they're just cute. And then they get like this and they eat a lot. And hello, I'm out of the business now. Animals could do that for you like they did me. And then it's time to readjust and pray. And eventually the predators got them all because I forget to close the barn door at night. That was dumb. But anyway, Merton reminds us the more stuff we have, the more likely it will compete with the love of God in our lives. And if our hope is really in buying and obtaining more and more stuff this Christmas season rather than loving God, we will strangely find ourselves increasingly hopeless in this short life. Kind of like the time. when two grandsons were attending their grandfather's funeral during the Advent season. And these young men were musing on the brevity of life. And one young man said, "When I die, I hope it's peaceful and in my sleep, just like grandpa's." And the other young man said, "Me too, and not screaming in terror like all the passengers in his car did." Oh, Christmas season is here. Perhaps hope is not the slippery, tricky thing that sometimes we think it is. Maybe some honest and direct questions could go far in your life to help recover biblical hope as we move through a busy Advent Christmas season, as we move towards the end of 2022. So let me just offer maybe three takeaway points for you this morning. Remember this: biblical hope is sometimes means to patiently wait and trust in the Lord, especially in times of difficulty and times of pain. So patience, waiting, pain are all part of biblical hope. Biblical hope means to reject the false and addictive comforts and to trust God, the God of all hope. And then finally, biblical hope is always linked to faith in Jesus. Jesus is our herald of hope. Not stuff, not things. Biblical hope is gracious, spacious, and freeing. Amen? So I wish for you and your loved ones a biblical hope this Christmas season. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we come before you in need this morning, Lord. Many of us have different issues in our lives, struggles, pains, difficulties. Would you bring your hope into our lives through the power of your Son, Jesus Christ, our herald of hope? Lord, we just pray your blessing on this season. We pray that for those of us that need to, we would subtract things so that we could focus on you, Jesus, in a more powerful way this season. Help us, Lord, to avoid distraction. Keep us in your word and in prayer and in fellowship. And may we really, truly this year celebrate the reason for the season, Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord, our herald of hope. And it's in his name we pray, saying, amen. Amen.